There are going to be two events this weekend in St. Louis that are going to be very funny. One will be Sunday, when the St. Louis Rams try to hold off Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos at the Dome.
Hey.
That's going to be some comedy right there. Yeah. But before that, there'll be some comedy tonight at the Edison Theater at Washington University. And it stars my next guests, Austin Titchener and Dominic Conti, who are two-thirds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, who are in town to do their newest production, The Complete History of Comedy, Abridged. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Very good, Paul. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 415, Dudes Talking Comedy. Last Friday, Dominic Conti and I joined our old friend Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS in St. Louis to talk about our performance that night at Washington University of The Complete History of Comedy, Abridged.
When you say The Complete History, Austin, you and Reed Martin, who's not here because he hates me, apparently.
It goes way back.
Yeah. when you two wrote this piece, as you have many of the other RSC shows, when you say the complete history of comedy, how complete are we talking about? How far back in history did you go?
Well, as always, the disclaimer is right there in the title. It's The Complete History of Comedy, Abridged.
Abridged, but you had to go back and look.
We did. We go all the way back to cavemen. To, you know, we tell knock-knock jokes there. Back in the day, cavemen told rock-rock jokes. And now Chris Rock tells rock-rock jokes. So
that's good.
So, we go back to, you know, we discovered it was great. In many ways, you know, we've reduced American history, the Bible, the complete Word of God, all the great books, all the great movies for our shows. But in many ways, this was kind of the show we were born to reduce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all those wasted youthful years of, you know, glued to Warner Brothers cartoons and the old Dick Van Dyke show and Monty Python and listening to comedy albums from George Carlin and Bill Cosby. Suddenly, that was extensive business research.
Suddenly, the Three Stooges are useful.
Yes, yes, exactly.
No, honey, I have to watch this. I'm working. What a great excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that was the other good thing. The research is always the most fun. So we did have to, you know, start going back and revisiting all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Are you binge-watching the Marx Brothers again, Austin? I'm working, honey. I have to.
You know, I think that's the one good thing I've done as a parent is that my kids will put on Marx Brothers movies for pleasure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Know, so that's good. They appreciate that.
Yeah. And when you went back and looked, part of it had to be American history. And did you find that American history was different from when it came to comedy? Compared to the histories of comedy from elsewhere in the world? I mean, if you go back and compare us to the ancient Greeks or something?
Well, interesting. Well, we found out that a lot of humor seems to be timeless, right? So the whoopee cushion was actually invented by a Roman emperor, you know, and so that was cool. But then we also kind of tracked the evolution of the famous joke, you know, why did the chicken cross the road?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tracked that. So like the ancient Greeks did it. Do you think we can try to remember how it goes?
Yeah, let's try.
Yes. Clytemnestra.
Brave Clytemnestra. Yeah. The chicken has fallen victim to the sins of the father rooster. The hens have come home to roost. As his father before him, the brave chicken has tragically followed a path over which he has no control and now lies flattened against the stones. Well, one of us remembers it.
Don remembers it better.
Yeah, by the way, the one who's the author.
I was going to say, you was the one what wrote it.
You know what? In fairness to me, Reed wrote it. Wrote that particular bit. I mean, and also Shakespeare did his version, you know, to cross or not to cross. That is the question. Whether it is nobler for the hen to suffer the slings and arrows of oncoming traffic or to take wing above a sea of commuters and by or flying avoid them?
Nice.
Now, yeah, thank you. So I got that. But, you know, we just came back literally like a week ago from China.
Wait, On vacation or performing?
Performing. I wouldn't travel that far to vacate. You know,
okay.
It's way too far. We went to the Wuxian Festival, the theater festival, international theater festival, in this beautiful, beautiful 1,600-year-old ancient water village of Wuxian. It feels a little bit like Colonial Williamsburg. You know, they've recreated the past, but people aren't dressed in period clothes. But they had this wonderful theater festival, and we were doing the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, the original show that put the Rudyard Shakespeare Company on the map. And I got to the Hamlet part, to be or not to be, that is a quick, and I couldn't remember it because I was so – I had the chicken crossing the road version.
Oh,
to be or not to be.
That is tricky.
It really messed me up.
Ever so gently and horribly intermingle.
Yeah.
So, Dominic, I'm curious. When you're there and you see him going up on stage like that, are you on stage or backstage?
Oh, I wasn't there in China. I was in New Mexico at the time. You jealous? And so I missed that. But when one or the other of us goes up, there's kind of a tactic where, like, sometimes I'll look into the eyes of the other person and I'm like, "Well, these lines aren't coming," and I just see, like, you know, a big smile on their face, or like they'll. You know, like, you can get someone back on track if you feel like helping, or you can comment and say how terrible the other person is doing. It can be win-win.
And what we've
lose-lose, really.
And what we've frequently done, we just say, should we take that again? We go off stage and walk back in as if it never happened.
Come back in and do it again.
Do you have a quick conference backstage? To be or not to be? Okay, got it. All right, now I'm ready to go.
Oh, no, that usually doesn't happen. Usually, I just messed that up. Irrevocably, for now. But if we pretend we can travel back in time, then I'll get it.
But there have been times where you go off stage, come back in, and it still goes wrong. And it's just, you know, and in a lot of ways, you feel bad as an actor. But if you think about it from an audience's standpoint, that's the beauty of live theater. Yeah. You know, they want to see you mess up. Yeah. You know, and we try to do it right.
It's not like Arthur Miller. Like, if you mess up in our shows, it can be better.
Right.
Or at least not worse.
It would be worse if the salesman didn't die.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's that archetype.
How's the ending to your production of Death of a Salesman? Up. Very positive.
We've broken the song.
Yeah.
There's that old archetypal story of the miracle worker, you know, in which you know, baby Helen Keller is the prologue at the beginning, and she's so sick, and they say she's going to be up and bouncing along around in no time at all, and then in one performance, the doctor says in the first, how is she, doctor? She's dead. Okay, curtain, blackout, we need to start again, and this time make her live because there's a whole play to go.
What's it like to perform in China, apart from the fact that you can't breathe? Because I've seen the video of the smog there that's just, I mean, we can see the air in St. Louis in August because of the intense humidity that we have here, but it's nothing compared to what they have there.
If the movies teach us anything, when they do their martial arts, they fly.
Yes.
Is that true?
That's true. Yes, Crouching Tiger, Coughing Dragon, I think is. In Wuxian, this is one of the beautiful parts. It's 2 hours from Shanghai. And in Shanghai, coming out of the airport, it was like we were coughing.
Did you have to bring masks with you?
Well, maybe, but we didn't because we're idiots. But down in Wuxian, the air was lovely and beautiful. The weird thing is that they don't speak English much. Maybe 20% of the audience spoke English. But
fortunately, you're fluent in Cantonese, so you could do the whole show that way.
Thank Buddha.
Yeah.
Well, you read it better than you speak it, so that didn't help you as much.
It's true. But my pronunciation is terrible.
Here's the extent of Austin reading Chinese. He knows the 12 animals on the placemat.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Shun Suan Hai She Hui Mia is to be or not to be in Chinese.
Yeah, so you say.
I also can say Diu Le Lomo, which is something you can't say in English on the radio.
Really?
Yeah, so if you have any native Chinese speakers on the radio, I've just offended both of them.
I've had it with a hoisin sauce. It's delicious.
the Diu Le Lomo?
Yeah.
It's good. No, but what was weird is that you'd have, you know, we're playing to a full, sold-out crowd of folks, and they all love Shakespeare. So I actually, they told me, don't say to be or not to be in Chinese. We know it as to be or not to be.
Hmm.
You know, they know it in English, but we would have, so we're playing to the audience, we're looking at the audience, and the entire audience is not looking at us, they're looking to our right and left, reading the translations on the screens, on the monitors.
Wow.
So, and every now and then, the translated monitor line would appear on the monitor at the same time as we were actually saying the line, so the laugh would happen at the right time. But frequently, the laugh would happen about 3 seconds later, and you go, oh, they just got that joke.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's one of the things we...
How do you overcome that delay?
It's weird. It's just weird. But sometimes, you know, the beautiful part is when I couldn't remember the to be or not to be speech, I just walked down and walked over to the monitor and went, how's it go? Oh, there it is. It's in English, too. Great. Thank you. I can just read it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So they have the script ahead of time. There's not contemporaneous translation. Somebody actually got it ahead of time.
Correct.
And put it into the teleprompter or whatever you call it.
Which keeps the improvising down to a minimum because, you know, once we start to improvise, you know, then they don't know what the hell we're talking about. Except there is audience participation in kind of all of our shows. And at one point, they're a shy people, the Chinese, I think it's fair to say. And they wouldn't yell out the stuff we needed them to yell out. And so I actually had to tell the people, hey, go back several screens on the translation. And we said, now this, say this, loud, Cantonese or English, doesn't matter, just go. And that was slightly better.
Yeah.
Not much.
Hey guys, Will Durst here, and you know what you're listening to. You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare podcast, and you are a lucky one to do it.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This is the final week in 2014 for you to see us perform in the UK, but we will start up again there in January 2015 with our first UK tour of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. And starting next week in the US, you can see us perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged for a month at the Marin Theatre Company in Mill Valley, California, in addition to seeing us perform The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Illinois and Maryland in December. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for The Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to our conversation about the comedy show with Paul Harris on KTRS in St. Louis last Friday.
I have a question.
Yeah, Dan.
In your travels around the world and all your performances, what was the most responsive place that you've been with the best audience?
Wow. You know, I guess it possibly because of expectations, doing the complete history of America in Singapore.
Really?
Yeah. Was one of the best responses we've ever had. And interestingly, speaking of Northern Ireland, doing the same show, Complete History of America Abridged, in Belfast. And I think it's because that was both of those are back in the 90s. I think it has something to do with in countries where there's not much criticism of the local government.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that we were the edgiest, most dangerous comedians they'd ever seen when we're really pretty tame.
Did they ask you, are you allowed to do that in America?
They did. And actually, in Singapore, actually, and in China, in fact, the scripts have to be vetted by the government.
We were not allowed to do Bible in Singapore.
That's right.
They didn't try and shut us down. They just said, no, can't even bring it.
Can't even do it.
Wow.
So that's
let me tell you about a place in Northern Ireland. They let us play.
Yeah. But you know, that's the answer. That's the answer to the next people's. Well, I'm sure it's been banned before. Yes, it's been banned in Singapore. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be like Singapore? I don't understand. It's like the other thing we get. Well, you wouldn't make fun of the Quran, would you? And again, what's the point of the question? Are you saying that you want to be a religious fundamentalist? Is that what you mean? And my answer is the Quran's not my book. The Bible is my book.
Mm-hmm.
It's as much my book as it is anybody's book, mm-hmm. and I could do a celebration. And if I had a funny idea about the Quran, I probably still wouldn't do it.
Because murder can follow that kind of thing, yeah, you know? I mean, let's be honest.
Married with kids. I completely understand that. Completely. So can I press you into a little bit of service here? Because I know that there's one part of the show where you go back into American history and talk about some of the humor of our presidents, and particularly one of our earliest presidents, Abraham Lincoln, who I was not aware was all that funny.
We discovered that he did stand up. In fact, I think his ghost is doing a couple of sets down at the Funny Bone right downstairs. A little bit later on, yeah. And Dom does it. It's funny. Dom, what did you find when you were investigating?
Oh, I found the more
Lincoln as a stand-up.
The more moderny you do him, the better it works. The more as if he was performing just downstairs, or you know, like as if Chris Rock dropped in to do a quick little set, to do a quick seven, you know, downstairs.
And it's funny because you kind of strut the stage Chris Rock.
Yeah, kind of stride around. You got your sleeves pushed up. Yeah. You know, the party up in here, the song by DMX brings me out onto the stage, you know, just that kind of thing. Because originally, and this was fine for Dan, and I think it's fine in general, but they had like sort of that brought Lincoln in. I'm like, no, No. Yeah. We got to go like, you know, this is if Dane Cook is at Madison Square Garden. You know, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Needs to bring you out.
But he has a couple of good opening lines of, you know, how you doing? St. Louis? Glad to be here.
Yeah. In a theater. Yeah. I'm not happy to be here in
a theater. I'm not crazy to be here in a theater. I'm just glad they don't have balconies. Yeah. But actually, the Lincoln as a stand-up talks about an interesting phenomenon, which is the idea of the fool. The notion that a fool or a jester that's been a role throughout history as the one person who can tell truth to power. And, you know, so maybe we have John Stewart as a prominent fool now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Lincoln discovered that he had the best fool, Mary Todd.
and that's a very significant axiom for comedy is, you know, take down people in power.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, like I think we make moves to do that. You know, whoever's in power right now, mm-hmm. whether we, you know, essentially agree with the person or not, we usually find a way to chip away mm-hmm. at that person.
Well, if you're making fun of somebody powerful, that's satirical or that's comedy. If you're making funny who's powerless, that seems bullying.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be cruel to the people who can take it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to knock the president off his perch, whoever he may be, Republican or Democrat.
Right.
He's going to remain the president, but
they might not be happy about it.
Who cares?
You know, I always feel weird when we're telling Kennedy jokes at the Kennedy Center. But I don't think we've ever had a member of the family actually come see the show.
Yeah.
If a crippled boy shows up late to the theater, we tend not to mock him. He gets a pass.
You are such softies.
Yes, we are. You know, again, we don't come from a place of anger and pain.
I know there's another part of the show where you actually stop for a commercial in the middle.
Well, we do sell. Yeah, we sell some merch. We sell some merchandise. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, do you poop out at parties? Strike out at small talk? You feel like the whole world is laughing, but you're not getting the joke? Are you a big yuck? Just a big yuck. Well, fear not, friends. I got puns, grins, wisecracks, and whizbangs. I got old bits, new bits, gold bits, and blue bits. I got quick jokes, dick jokes, and sure to make you sick jokes. I got more buffalo rib ticklers and one line of throwaways than you can shake a stick at. Where do I keep them all, you ask? Right here, friends and neighbors. You too can learn the secrets of comedy with my very own surefire 100% guaranteed elixir of laughs. Just one spoonful of my miraculous elixir of laughs will turn a sad sack into a top banana. What's in it? Why, only the most well-kept secrets of the Orient and the Borscht Belt, with enough chutzpah for a schlemiel or a schlemazel that'll give you a nachas in your kishkas to your plots. And that's not all, cats and kittens. We got catchphrases, spit takes, double takes, sight gags, scene stealers, showstopper, snappy patter, and as a special deal for our Canadian customers, a poutine routine. And that offer's only good in Canada. Apparently the joke is too. And if you act now, I will throw in absolutely free of charge a lifetime supply of dirty limericks straight from Nantucket. With this specially blended bottomless bottle of teasers, taglines, and toppers, you will shock and guffaw the crowd. We got dead baby jokes. How did the dead baby get to the other side of the road? He was stapled to the chicken.
Boom!
Admittedly, these are not for everyone. But whether you're an established comic looking to improve his act or just a beginner who doesn't know the difference between a blackout and blackface, with my extra strength elixir of laughs, you'll be ready for the big time in no time, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Side effects may include uncontrollable milking and painful running gags. For elation lasting longer than 4 hours, consult your physician. The elixir of laughs. If you're not 100% satisfied, well, excuse me.
Very, very nice.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your elixir warnings via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, amateur fool Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Heather Comfer, one of four people who saw all 8 performances of the Reston Extravaganza back in September. No reason, it is just random. Special thanks to legendary Bay Area comedian Will Durst. I hope we get to see him again when we're out there in Marin. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 415 1245ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
How much did you have to pay that one guy on the council to make such a fuss so that instead of selling just 80 tickets, you could turn this into a publicity event and sell out 2 weeks' worth?
You know, if it were that easy, we would do that forever. We would write those kinds of shows. We would write those specifically kinds of shows. But And I suppose we could, but it's just sort of not in our nature. Our comedy doesn't come from a place of anger.
Yeah.
Some do, but ours doesn't. It comes from a place of celebration, I guess, and fun. And I think, you know, in a way that what's fun about the comedy show, what's fun about comedy generally, is that you get the biggest laughs by telling the truth in an unexpected way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's one of the fun things that we do in the British Shakespeare Company in all of our shows. Is to just come out there and tell the truth about things in a really, really funny way.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.